I'm Celeste Headlee. This is On Second Thought. President Trump has signed more than 20 executive orders since his January inauguration.
Today I'm signing a new executive order to end another egregious abuse of federal power.
He's also issued 20 proclamations, 19 presidential memoranda, and 3 presidential notices.
He's pulled out of trade deals, approved the border wall, revived the Keystone Pipeline. I just got to imagine, though, he's got to be done, right? There can't be any more of these executive orders.
He's got more. Trust me.
The fact is, even news organizations don't always seem clear on what an executive order really is or how it's different from those other documents a president signs. And when a word or phrase is used all the time but usually misunderstood, that means it's time to break it down. Executive orders are quite simple in concept. They're orders issued by the president to members of the federal government. They're a product of the U.S. Constitution.
To ourselves and our posterity do ordain and establish this Constitution.
It's the part of Article 2 of the Constitution that focuses on executive power, what the president can do and can't.
I'll do what I want to do. I'll see whoever I want to see.
The original document of Article 2 says executive power should be used, quote, to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, end quote. There is no mention of orders, just the grant of executive power. Still, that is the basis for all executive actions today. Executive orders carry the force of law, but they don't make law. Only Congress can do that. Congress controls new money, too. So an executive order can't include new spending. The order is presidential instruction to federal agencies on how to carry out laws that Congress has passed. The very first executive order was issued by George Washington in 1789. In it, he asked the heads of all federal departments to, quote, impress me with a full, precise, and distinct general idea of the affairs of the United States. We've seen executive orders take many forms. There was the Emancipation Proclamation signed by President Lincoln and depicted in the 2012 film, Lincoln.
Abolishing slavery by constitutional provision settles the fate for all coming time.
There was also the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Here's Milton Eisenhower, who oversaw the War Relocation Authority during the Roosevelt administration.
We are setting a standard for the rest of the world in the treatment of people who may have loyalties to an enemy nation. We are protecting ourselves without violating the principles of Christian decency.
And let's not forget about President Harry Truman's executive order to desegregate the armed forces in 1948. Here's Truman a year earlier addressing the NAACP.
It is my deep conviction that we have reached a turning point in the long history of our country's efforts to guarantee freedom and equality to all our citizens.
Now, an executive order must be very carefully crafted if it hopes to withstand legal challenge. Because the president can't create laws or appropriate funds, executive orders are often charged with overstepping constitutional authority. At one point, Barack Obama signed an executive order raising the minimum wage for federal contract workers to $10.10 an hour.
There's a simple moral principle at stake. If you take responsibility and you work as hard as these folks work, if you work full time, you shouldn't be living in poverty.
Republicans said that was an overstep, but the order remains in place. A couple more recent examples: President Trump's executive order on immigrants, and another that denies federal funding to cities that shield undocumented immigrants. Both were suspended by federal judges.
You don't think this was done by a judge for political reasons, do you? No. This ruling makes us look weak.
This is hardly the first time an executive order has been challenged by the courts. Back in 1952, President Truman signed an order that allowed a government takeover of all steel mills in the country. The Supreme Court struck that down. The justices ruled the president does not have the power to act unless explicitly authorized by the Constitution or Congress.
We don't want you making any major decisions alone anymore, okay? We want a democracy. Emotion will be suppressed and reason will prevail.
Reason will prevail!
That decision by the Supreme Court was described as a stinging rebuke to Truman, and it limited presidential power for every man who's held the office since.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
There are different kinds of executive actions, and that's why a lot of confusion arises. Executive action includes all of the actions a president takes. The order is the most formal of them all, and the most powerful. There are also presidential proclamations, memorandums, determinations, and notices. Proclamations are usually ceremonial.
My job is to woo.
To what?
To woo.
I wish to make a proclamation of love.
One proclamation, for example, created a National Ice Cream Day.
Ice cream? What about ice cream?
I don't know! Look at the ingredients!
Heavy cream, sugar, chocolate syrup. No, ice cream's good for you.
Memorandums are pretty similar to orders, actually. The difference is memorandums aren't numbered, and they're not published in the Federal Register. In terms of legal weight, from most authority to least, the executive actions are ranked like this.
1. Proclamation.
2. Executive order.
3. Presidential memorandum.
4. Presidential notices.
And 5. Determinations.
The president who signed the most executive orders was Franklin Roosevelt, of course, because he served longer than any other. But if you take him out of the equation, Woodrow Wilson tops the list with 1,803.